From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his sixth message in the series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing part two of a message called Rahab, a Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. These words contain God's command to the believer when he's reduced to great straits and brought into extraordinary difficulties. He cannot retreat, he cannot go forward. He is shut up on the right hand and on the left. What is he now to do? The Master's word to him is, stand still. It will be well for him if at such times he listens only to his Master's word, for other and evil advisers come with their suggestions. Despair whispers, lie down and die, give it all up. But God would have us put on a cheerful courage, and even in our worst times, rejoice in His love and faithfulness. Cowardice says, retreat. Go back to the worldling's way of action. You cannot play the Christian's part. It is too difficult. Relinquish your principles. But however much Satan may urge this course upon you, you cannot follow it if you are a child of God. His divine fiat has bid thee go from strength to strength, and so thou shalt. And neither death nor hell shall turn thee from thy course. What if for a while thou art called to stand still? Yet this is but to renew thy strength for some greater advance in due time. Precipitancy cries, do something, stir yourself. To stand still and wait is sheer idleness. We must be doing something at once. We must do it, so we think, instead of looking to the Lord, who will not only do something, but will do everything. Presumption boasts, if the sea be before you, march into it and expect a miracle. But faith listens neither to presumption nor to despair, nor to cowardice nor to precipitancy. But it hears God say, stand still. And immovable as a rock, it stands. Stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man, ready for action, expecting further orders, cheerfully and patiently awaiting the directing voice. And it will not be long ere God shall say to you, as distinctly as Moses said it to the people of Israel, go forward.
Trust His word.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Joshua had dispatched two spies to search out the defenses of Jericho. The harlot Rahab hid them from their pursuers and confessed that the city was in great fear because of what God had already done for Israel. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing parallels between Rahab's coming to trust in Israel's God and the way the Lord works in the hearts of sinners to bring them to salvation in Christ. The first step for Rahab and for every lost soul is the recognition of being under the condemnation of God. Now to continue this message, Rahab, a picture of salvation by grace through faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is nothing romantic about Rahab. Rahab lived in the gutter. Rahab was a woman who had fallen as low as womanhood can fall. Rahab must have brought shame to her mother if her mother ever had any decency within her. Even in a heathen society, Rahab was earmarked as a woman of particularly low morals. She sold her body for filthy lucre. She sold herself without regard to reputation, without regard to family, friends, or personal dignity. She sold herself for lust and for lucre. She was an immoral woman. Now, in this day of loose morality, in this day when people think little of the marriage bond, in this day when people think that there's nothing unique about marriage, and therefore they can live with whomsoever they choose, whensoever they choose, for whatsoever reason they may choose, Rahab's sin may not appear to be anything so terrible after all. But my friend, that is a wrong judgment. That is merely to say that we're living in a society that has bred harlots by the million, though they don't call themselves that anymore. We're living in a society that has dragged down the common level to the level of Rahab. Far from excusing Rahab, it merely incriminates far more people in her sin. Rahab was undeniably a vile, filthy, wretched, guilty sinner. She was a heathen by birth, a heathen by upbringing, and to top it all, she was willfully, wickedly given to sin. Now, as I've said, millions have sunk as low as Rahab. Millions of others pride themselves that they haven't sunk as low as Rahab. They may not in that one particular instance. But nonetheless, without Jesus Christ, they're guilty sinners. The Word of God finds every man and every woman in the state of nature exactly where God found Rahab. Guilty. Unclean. Wicked. Rebellious. And may I say, as far as any in this meeting are concerned, with much less excuse than Rahab. She was born into heathenism. Now, even the religion of heathenism, and this is true to this very day, the religion of heathenism has always been notorious for its lack of moral standard. She was born a heathen. That did not excuse her own willful wickedness. But nonetheless, it shows you that people who are born with a Bible in every room in the house in which they're born. They have been brought up under the preaching of the Word of God. They have been exposed to the gospel of God and to the law of God. They know the truth of God, and yet they still go on in their rebellion and their wickedness, their sin and their debauchery. Those people have much less excuse even than Rahab had. She was undeniably a sinner. My friend, it's very, very important that every man and woman recognize, without beating about the bush, without trying to deny the reality of this, that that is the pit in which God finds every one of us by nature. The man or the woman who quibbles about their sinfulness, who tries to excuse the sinfulness that God sees and the Word of God notes, will never be saved until they recognize the reality of sin, the wickedness of sin. Instead of judging yourself, therefore, by the standards of the hour, instead of judging yourself by what is happening all around you, you must bring yourself to the Word of God, to the law of God, to this truth of God, and let the light of Scripture search out the inmost recesses of your heart, and bow before God, confessing, I am a guilty sinner. And until that step is taken, there will never be any hope of salvation. She was undeniably a sinner. Furthermore, she lived in a place that was under God's condemnation. Jericho was a city cursed by God. In fact, in Scripture, Jericho is particularly the city of the curse. It was cursed in the days of Joshua. God put a stamp on it that he would lay a curse on any man who would ever rebuild that city after Joshua had laid it low. That happened significantly during the reign of King Ahab, and God did place his curse upon the rebuilder of Jericho. And that curse even attached to it unto the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ is found about Jericho. And there are certain miracles associated with, for instance, the healing of the blind man outside of Jericho, the healing then of Bartimaeus outside of Jericho, meeting with Zacchaeus outside of Jericho, where he transformed him. But any miracle the Lord Jesus Christ ever did around that area was always outside of Jericho, significantly. Never inside it. Always outside of Jericho. The city of the curse. That's where she lived. Under condemnation from God, with the doom certain. And as the people of Jericho looked out, they could see the massing armies of Israel. They knew that the moment of doom was fast approaching. This is where she lived. What a picture of the position of men and women, boys and girls, outside of Jesus Christ, living in a world under condemnation, a world under the curse, a world that is really but an enlarged Jericho. And for any man who will take the time to look in the Word of God and then look out in this world, the signs of the times are there for every man to see that the judgment of God is fast approaching. Here is a picture then, a sinner personally culpable before God, living under God's condemnation. And the time is extremely short. The fall of Jericho was imminent. There was not a moment to lose. No one knew how soon the axe of judgment would fall. All that was certain was that it was coming very, very soon. I want you to get this picture of any sinner under condemnation, pronounced guilty before God, living in a place of God's curse, with the wrath of God suspended over his head, time running out. The time is short. I wonder this morning, is that where you sit? Is that where you now are before God? Yet in sin, yet condemned, with imminent doom hanging over your head. That's where we find Rahab. The second view we have of her is God bringing her under conviction. There are certainly very clear evidences that Rahab had come under strong conviction even before she ever met with the spies. We read this morning in verse 9 through verse 11. If I may pick out some of the things she says there. She said to these men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We have heard what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan." Very significantly, she adds, "As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man." Our hearts did melt. And then one of the greatest statements you'll find anywhere in all of Scripture. Think of who it is making this statement. She has not yet had any promise, any undertaking of safety. And she says, "The Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." The Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I think that when you look at this passage, you will see a woman whose heart was already being stirred, whose heart was already being convicted, its rebellion squelched, a willingness created to acknowledge God, to know God, and to follow God. This is all going on in the heart of a woman who is still known in Jericho as Rahab the harlot. You see, she heard of the great works of God. The work of God in a man's heart or a woman's heart always commences with the hearing of the truth of God about the Lord and His works. What a message this was for Rahab. She had never heard anything like it. She had been brought up with gods of a heathen variety. The very worship of those gods was wickedness personified. That's what she was used to, a religion of fear, a religion of debauchery, a religion of wickedness, a religion of guilt and manipulation. Now she hears about Jehovah. She hears about grace. She hears about the power of God exercised on behalf of His people. She heard the story of what God did in redeeming His people out of Egypt. She followed the story with growing interest. You can see that in what she says. "We have heard of the great works of the Lord." When you come over into the New Testament, when Peter started preaching in the day of Pentecost, he preached a great sermon that was really in answer to questions raised by the witness of the whole body of Christians as they were speaking in foreign languages. And the people said, "We hear them all in our own tongues." Then the scoffers started and they tried to find fault. That was what gave Peter a sermon. But what interests me in that chapter is that when the people started preaching in all those foreign languages, And people said, we hear them every man in his own tongue. What did they say they heard? They heard them declaring the wonderful works of God. The very message that Rahab heard. I want you to understand this. This is where God begins to bring sinners out of condemnation into the covenant of grace. He first of all brings them under conviction by the preaching of the Word of God. She heard of what the Lord had done. Not only that, but she heard of God's gracious promise to His people, the promise of Canaan. She knew God has given you the land. She knew about that undertaking. She heard the works of God. She heard the promise of God. And as she heard these things, something happened within her. And this is something that always happens when God brings a man or a woman under conviction. She heard about the greatness of God. She heard about the grace of God. And suddenly, her heart melted within her. There was no more desire to be a heathen. There was no more desire to remain an alien from this God. There was no more desire to maintain a spirit of rebellion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.